Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. We are continuing our series, looking at the 12 apostles. Next up, Simon the Zealot, the least mentioned disciple in the entire New Testament, who, nevertheless, can teach us something about good words. And so we turn it over now to Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning. So we are recording, and so we want to go ahead and give a nice shout out to the men who join us by listening to the podcast. So on the count of three, that usual enthusiastic, warm, rousing Man in the Mirror welcome that only you guys can give on the count of three. One, two, three. Hoorah! Okay, welcome, guys. We're glad to have you with us. So we are in this series, getting to know the 12 disciples, and today we're going to talk about Simon the Zealot, words that describe us. So the texts where Simon the Zealot are mentioned are four, and there are really no other that I've been able to find, or any other commentators that I've read have been able to find. There are no other mentions of Simon the Zealot in the Bible. So he is like the least mentioned disciple of all the disciples. He's mentioned in these four verses, Matthew 10:4, Mark 3:18, Luke 6:15, and Acts 1:13. These are the four places where the list of the disciples are given. And he's called Simon the Zealot, Simon the Zealot, Simon who was called the Zealot, and Simon the Zealot. So the Zealot, you get it? It's interesting, though, there are actually two different words that are used here, but they both basically, all the translators translate them, zealots. So Matthew and Mark use one word, an Aramaic word, and then Luke uses a Greek word, but they both mean zealot. Simon was a man of zeal, a man of zeal. So when you think of a zealot, what do you think of? Somebody who's enthusiastic, somebody who is what else? Passionate. It can be a negative zealot. It can be a positive zealot, right? You can think of some negative zealots, people who kind of are overly boisterous, go overboard, go too far, religious fanatics, political fanatics. But you can use those same words, religious fanatic and political fanatic, in a positive way. They're fanatical about ideology. They're fanatical about good theology, but they have manners. You have good manners, you know. And so there you can be zealous in different ways. So what about Simon the Zealot, though? What do we know about him? Was he called the Zealot before Jesus called him to be a disciple? We don't know. If he was a zealot before Jesus called him, was he a political zealot? There was a movement that was beginning to take shape there called zealots, and they actually became, in the late 60s, so much, much later than this, they became a force that was involved in trying to overthrow the Roman government. There was a rebellion. The Jews rebelled against Roman government, and Titus, general, came in and he swept through Jerusalem in 70 AD and destroyed the temple, just exactly like Jesus had foretold that the temple would be destroyed. But it seems to me, speaking just for myself, a little unlikely that he was part of this political party. It seems more likely, and it's also possible, that he would have been a religious zealot, that he would have been a good Jew, that he would have been zealous for his faith. It could have also just been a matter of his temperament. He could have just been that kind of a guy, you know, one of those really enthusiastic go-getter guys. And probably was. We don't know. We just don't know. But what we do know is that whatever he was before he followed Jesus, after he followed Jesus, he became worthy of that nickname. He became worthy of the nickname of being called the Zealot. Do you know of any of the other disciples that have a nickname like this? Peter, that's the rock. Well, that's probably a nice nickname. But he says this is a positive nickname that he's carrying around, that he was worthy of in the eyes of Jesus. And we know that he was worthy of this in the eyes of Jesus because Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, has preserved this nickname in four places for all of time. And here we are today, a couple of thousand years later, talking about Simon and identifying him as a zealot, somebody who was enthusiastic and passionate about his faith. Jesus, I'm just speculating here, way beyond what the scriptures give us, but I'm speculating here. Can you imagine how good this would have made Simon feel? Jesus has called him the zealot, has allowed him to be nicknamed him the zealot, and preserved it for all time. And it must have brought Jesus a great deal of pleasure to see this zeal in this man that he had called. And I say that because in John chapter 2, verse 17, the disciples took note that after Jesus had overturned the tables of the money changers and so forth in the temple, they remembered from Psalm 69, I think it is, that zeal for my house will consume me. And so Jesus was a man of zeal. And here he saw one of his disciples as a man of zeal. Just think, it would have brought him a great deal of pleasure to give him these good words, to give Simon these good words by which he could be remembered. And the big idea today, we'll be dealing with these good words. Here's what we learn from this nickname. First of all, the elephant in the room, it distinguishes him from Peter, right? Simon Peter. There are many Simons in the Bible, and so there needed to be some way to distinguish him. This nickname shows the diversity of the men that Jesus chose. For example, you have Matthew, who's a tax collector, and then you have Levi. You have Simon, who's a zealot. If he was a political zealot, here you have one works for the government, one wants to overthrow the government. There's that possibility. Nicknames are a sign of affection, and so this would have been a term of affection. Now, some nicknames are given as derisive nicknames, right? But Jesus is not going to give a derisive. Jesus is love. Jesus is going to speak whatever words he speaks in love. The Holy Spirit is going to record words that would have been a nickname of affection. Simon would have felt honored to be known as the zealot. It would have made him feel good. It'd be like you being called Mark the Magnificent, or Vic the Victor, or Bob the Brave, or Charles the Courageous. This is just like, this is incredible. And then the next thing we learn from this nickname, there's an intentional lack of information given about him. And think about this. When you have a lack of information given intentionally by the Holy Spirit about anything, what does it force you to do? It forces you to use your imagination. It forces you to ponder, to think more deeply about what, in this case, what kind of man was Simon. And then reflecting on that, what kind of man am I? And then finally, Jesus, another thing we learn from this nickname is Jesus takes us as we are, whether he was a political, religious, or temperamental zealot. Jesus takes us as we are, and then he molds us into worthy vessels, worthy vessels. So whatever form this zeal was in before Simon became a disciple, Jesus took that from wherever he, all these men, all the 12 of these men, from wherever they were coming, he took whatever they brought and he molded it and he shaped them into worthy vessels. And so he took that zeal, whether it was being used for good or bad, we don't know, but he took that zeal and he shaped it into something to be used for good and to pass it down to you today so you could think about your life as well. So here's the big idea. Following the example of Jesus, here's the big idea. Give one another the gift of good words to remember. Can we do that? Can we just give one another the gift of good words to remember. Some of you have grown up and you have a cornucopia of good words to remember. Others of you have a trash bin full of bad words that you remember. And some of you might be like me. I have almost no words to remember, good or bad. You know, I don't know if I've mentioned this here before, probably have, but when I grew up, I don't remember any words growing up. I don't remember ever hearing, I love you. I'm not saying these words were not spoken. I can't imagine that these words were never spoken. But it is significant that I'm standing here, an old man now, and I have no recollection of ever hearing the words, I love you. I mean, I have spent years, the last several years, pondering this question. Was I ever told that I was loved? And I have zero recollection of ever hearing the words, I love you. Now, it can't be possible, but it's interesting that my mind is so screwed up that I can't remember. I can't remember I love you. I can't remember I believe in you. I can't remember hearing the words, I'm proud of you, until I was 47 years of age. I was at lunch with my dad. I had started taking my dad to lunch at 35, so 12 years later, I wrote him a birthday card. We were at Olive Garden over in the Hiawassee and Highway 50, and having lunch, and I wrote in his birthday card, Dad, I sure hope you're proud of me. He read the card. He never looked up. He said, well, you know I am. That's all I ever got. But I mean, it was magic. And I remember those words. I was 47 years old. Those words changed my life. They released something in me. So, good words. Jesus gave Simon the gift of good words to remember. And so, it's a great lesson for us, too, to give one another the gift of good words to remember. Your kids, your spouse, your coworkers, your employees, your bosses, your pastors, your Bible teachers, like me. Okay, so that's the big idea for the day. And then, a little bit about the power of remembered words. Obviously, I've already started wading into this, but just imagine, if you can for a minute, how Simon must have felt. So Jesus looks at Simon, and he says, Simon, you are the zealot. Your enthusiasm is magic. It's so powerful. Your passion. Because of your character, because of the characteristics that you have here, because of how into being a good disciple you are, you're going to be known for all time as Simon the Zealot. You're the Zealot. Imagine how good this would have made Simon feel. Imagine the words that you've heard that have made you feel good. So nobody on listening to this on the podcast will know this, but we were a little slow getting the sound going here this morning. And I told this story about my 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade teacher, John Barber, who he called me the Oreo kid. And he might as well have called me the zealot. He might as well have called me the zealot. He called me the Oreo kid. And it just released something in me and gave me life. There were words of belief. They're words of belief. Words are powerful. So powerful. In fact, Mark Twain said this, a powerful agent is the right word. A powerful agent is the right word. Even now, for those of you who like things like this, I'm totally into words and things like this. So he said a powerful agent is the right word. What if that sentence was constructed, the right word is a powerful agent? You see how flat it falls? You see how flat it falls? If you don't see how flat it falls, that's okay. But The right word is a powerful agent. A powerful agent is the right word. Oh my gosh, words are powerful in the way they're structured. By the way, the big idea here today, let's give one another the gift of good words to remember. Give one another the gift of good words to remember. And so, lastly here, what words will you remember? What are going to be the words that you remember? I started in 1992. That's a long time ago. A journal, I call it my calling journal. My calling journal. And I have, as I have heard good words from God mostly, but also from other people over the years, I have written down all of those things since 1992. Sometimes I'm writing notes every day. Sometimes it might be months and months where there's a gap between me writing anything in this call-in journal. I have 96 single-space pages, about 35,000 words. There are about 50,000 words in a whole book. I've got 35,000 words in this one file. But they're good words. They're good words that have been spoken into my life, mostly by God, but by other people as well. A lot of other people, frankly, as well, that have been life. Words are powerful. Words can heal. Words can make you sick. Words can give you life. Words can give you death. Words can start arguments. Words can stop arguments. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Words can start a war and stop a war. Words are so powerful. And we are Christians. We are Christians. And, Rex Klemmer talks about this, how men have a sixth love language. You know, Gary Chapman, the five love languages. Most of you probably heard that. Rex Klemmer says men have a sixth love language, trash talk. And trash talking is fun. I mean, that's kind of like it's a way of men expressing affection. But, sometimes trash talk goes too far. And it gets snarky, and it gets degrading, and it, embarrasses somebody or humiliates people. Words can heal. Words can also tear down. And it can also happen in the family. We went to see our grandchildren last weekend. I mentioned that I was going to be doing that. And on Saturday morning, our 13-year-old granddaughter was entered in a chalking contest. So there's a candy store in St. Louis, and the owner is very creative. She started this chalking contest. So she taped off the sidewalk in front of the store, and sure enough, like 66 kids came out and drew chalk artwork. Our granddaughter was the first one there. She was the very first one there on Saturday morning. And she chalked out the most incredible picture of these two girls eating ice cream cones. It's a scene from Stranger Things, if you know what that is. And it was absolutely incredible. And the prize is like $100. $100. She won! Out of 66 entries, she won. And the second place was like only 75% as many votes as she. And I'm telling you, like, she was really good. So it was such a joy for me to be able to speak words into her life, and my wife as well, that she would remember just how creative. You are so creative, and you are such a good artist. And you could just see life coming into her with these good words. So what words will you remember? Mark Twain also said the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. If you get the word right, it's like lightning. If you get the wrong word, the lightning bug. So, for example, if I would have said to our granddaughter, Annie, I love your shoes. Those are beautiful shoes. You know, see what I mean? Kind of misses. So on your tables, you have each a 3x5 card. And if you're listening, I encourage you to get a piece of paper, a 3x5 card, and do this as well. I want you, in fact, the guys here in the room have already done this. They've written down words I remember from growing up. And we talked about the Oreo kid. It might be that you were told that you were a great leader, or that you're a good conversationalist, or whatever the words that you remember might be. And then also on that card or that piece of paper, you know, how I want to be remembered. You know, do I want to be remembered as a zealot? I have some words that I want to be remembered by, and I'm going to tell you what they are. My life word is integrity. I would hope that I would be remembered for my character more than my contribution. And in terms of character, my word is integrity. I hope people would say that he was a man of integrity. Another word that's very important to me is the word faithful. I would like to be remembered as faithful, as having been a faithful man. That if I told, and I'm very, nobody's perfect in this, but if I tell you I'm going to do something, you can pretty much put that in your bank account. Because I'm the guy, because of the way I've been wounded as a child, I'm now the guy, I will never let go of the other end of the rope. So I'm praying for Nancy with fasting once a week, and have been for the last several years. You know that. Several of you here in the room know that. And how do I keep up with that? Well, I have that written in my calendar. That's in my calendar. So I don't just rely on a good memory. I rely on notes that I've taken, because I want to be found faithful. I will never let go of the other end of the rope. Once I tell you I've got the other end of the rope for you, you can count on it. I ain't never letting go. And that's just, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful. So faithful is important to me. And then I would like to be remembered as a Christian gentleman. I don't want to be remembered as some guy that always had the right put down, you know, I don't want to be remembered as I don't want to be remembered as a good Bible teacher. I want to be remembered. This guy was a Christian gentleman. He exhibited the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, and integrity as well, and faithfulness as well. This is the way. So, write down how I want to be remembered for yourself. And then the final thing we're going to do right after we pray is on your tables, I want you to take a second 3x5 card, and I want you to write your name on it. In fact, take that second card right now, if you would, and write your name at the top. So at the top, Kelly Johnson, Pat Morley, Alex Glover. Whatever your name is, write it at the top. And then right after we pray, we're going to take a couple of minutes before you do your discussion, and you're going to pass that card around your table. And men, the big idea today is what? Give one another the gift of good words to remember. I'm going to give you the opportunity to give the other men at your table the gift of some good words to remember. So I want you to pass the card with your name on it to every man at the table. And then when you get the card and you see the name at the top, I want you to write a good word or a short phrase that would encourage that brother the same way that Simon must have felt encouraged when Jesus called him the zealot. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, for all of the different ways that the brevity of your word can spring our imagination into action. And just for the example of good words that you spoke to everyone you met, except, of course, those who didn't deserve it, and the Pharisees and so forth. But even then, you were spurring them on to do the right thing, to turn from sin to you. We want to do that now today. We want to be the encouragers of our brothers. And so would you give us the courage and the will and the desire to give one another the gift of good words to remember, whether it's here, at home, at work, or wherever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.